Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, the State Department says it's a little safer to travel in Mexico now. Holland America is offering more European itineraries for 2021. And the MGM in Vegas has an enticing offer to put your home office in their hotel. Details next.
At 3:20, our Smarter Traveler segment talks about tipping, eating in restaurants, and business greetings during COVID. What's appropriate, what's not.
Last week, we told you briefly the history of Burning Man, the annual event in the desert. It all started on Baker Beach in San Francisco in the 80s. One of our listeners answered our call for attendees, and he joins us to share his version of the Burning Man legend at 3:35.
We've been following the possible return of visitors to Hawaii, and today we have someone who has the perspective to give us an update on how the island's safety gets visitors back. Gary Hogan of Hawaiian Hotels joins us at 3:45.
Welcome to the travel show that's all about the journey through the smoke and the haze. Yep, we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
To Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
Oh, I was born a mammoth man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
With the show.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations on, as Mark pointed out, a rather smoky September 13th. Depending on where you live, air quality can be kind of iffy. Mark, I was talking to some folks who had been up towards Apple Hill and actually saw a little blue sky, and
wow.
We can cross our fingers and pray to the Lord that maybe that little Delta breeze will start working its way inward. How are you, and how are our friends there at Sports Leisure Vacations?
We are hanging in there. Rumor has it that indeed that there's supposed to be a little break in the smoke this afternoon, which would be kind of nice if that were to occur. So it's just smoky. We took a sent a group out on Chris Hart's train yesterday on the river, and the Fox River train, I think they did the wine special, went down river and had lunch and came back up and rode the train. And so there are some little things that can be done. We have a few Sports Leisure travelers who are going to Santa Cruz next week to stay a couple nights at the Dream Inn. So slowly, carefully, baby steps, toes in the water. We're just trying to make sure that this all works out. So don't want to do anything that we can't, really have some control over. But we are doing some little things and starting to travel a little bit safely. So how about you, Mr. Romano? Are you venturing outside at all?
Not a lot, really, because it's not so much because of any kind of COVID situation, but the air quality for us seniors is, either super hazardous or hazardous to sensitive groups. So, no, I just been staying in. I mean, I think yesterday I might have gone outside for a minute at the most. I'll go out and check on my garden and so forth. I'm starting to detect a smoked tomato flavor here on my vine ripened tomato. So we're just hunkered down, and but life moves on. I really flirted about going out and here again and dining out outdoors, but again held in mostly because of the smoke and not the COVID. So everybody's got, we got a couple of things to kind of think about when we venture out these days.
Well, and the world ends Tuesday, so just keep that in mind.
All right.
Anything you might have that's important to do, just got those couple more days. It does seem, though, doesn't it? Like, it's like what really could happen next. I mean, and you can't, we have smoke in the air here in Sacramento, which is better than having fire on the ground, I'm going to suggest to you. So You know, it's not a good time. President's coming to town tomorrow. They started earlier in the day. They were saying he was coming to Sacramento, but I guess he's coming actually. Air Force One is going to land at McClellan. So now they're just saying McClellan Park, a suburb of Sacramento. So
yeah, well,
he's going to come and talk about the fire damage and stuff like that.
Well, you know, here again, we can't say enough about, like we did for a long time, about the people in the medical industry that have been taking care of people who have been ill.
Yeah.
All the thousands, tens of thousands of firefighters and those that are involved in that certainly need to be saluted. We hope that they stay safe you know, they get all the support from all over the place to kind of get this done.
I don't know how they're doing this with, you know, usually there's a lot of inmates who help, and because of COVID, the inmates are not out and there's more fire. So you are right, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but any nice thing that could be said to people who are, I mean, that's hard work and they're working, you know, they work like 48 hours on and 48 hours off or something like that. It's kind of it's a weird schedule. I used to know a guy who did that, and it's real work. I mean, life, you couldn't get me to do it, that's for sure. So I'm very appreciative of them doing it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, at the top of every Travel Guy show, if you're a regular listener, you know we bring you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. So let's get it on. Mark, what do you got for us today?
All right, let's see here. In the headlines, we talked about how it may be a little bit safer to go to Mexico. They dropped, the State Department dropped it. The travel advisory from level 4, which is do not travel, to level 3, reconsider travel. So I guess if you have to go to Mexico, if you really need to go, they're saying it might be a little bit safer. This has more to do with COVID than anything else. There are some parts of Mexico that are reasonably safe for visitors and some parts that are not. That's all for another show. But anyway, if you're headed to Mexico, you need to go. Now at least you can get over the border and you can go if you need to. Holland America says it will deploy 5 ships on 7 to 35-day itineraries, exploring the Baltics, the British Isles, the French and Spanish Rivieras, the Mediterranean and Northern Europe, including Greenland, Iceland, Norway, and the North Cape for next year. So if you are a Holland America Cruise fan, they have a good product. They are going to do a lot more in Europe, and it looks like a lot more in Northern Europe next year. So good for Holland America. Colette says, if you are a seller of travel, this is good news for you. Colette Tours reveals a new program where they are going to pay part of the commissions in advance. This is a tough time for people who sell travel because many travel advisors sell commissionable products and they aren't paid their commission until after you travel. So imagine they sold you a cruise 6 months before you were to go, and a few weeks before you were supposed to go, that cruise was canceled, so the travel advisor did all the work and then doesn't get paid at all. Some travel companies, some cruise lines, some travel outfitters have paid, have honored commissions or at least part of the commissions, looking ahead to the day when they're going to want people to sell travel for them again. And Colette has now announced a new program, Colette Tours, that allows those people who sell travel to collect some of their commission in advance. And I know we have quite a few travel advisors who listen to this program, so I thought that was a good piece of news. You can swap your home office for the Las Vegas Strip with MGM Resorts Viva Las Vegas package, says the headlines. This is just one of the many options that have come up. I'm trying to get you to move your home office, Tom, to Las Vegas. The Orlando people have been trying to get you to move your homeschooled children, your distance learning children, to Orlando. So that you can, you know, imagine, hey, just do the your homework, Johnny, and you can go out. You can go to Disney World afterwards. That would work for me.
Well, you know, I've gotten emails from Marriott Bonvoy and a couple of others that are encouraging you to go to some pretty exotic places, with the caveat or the sales pitch that, hey, why be working at home when you could be working from paradise?
Yeah, well, if you wanted to go and work for the day and then go down and play in the afternoon, I guess Las Vegas, if you have to be at home, how does the boss know that? You know, take a background of the company logo and hang it on the hotel wall. And, you know, that would probably work. That would probably work. And also for the Orlando folks, you know, if you had a couple, three kids and you could afford to do it, wouldn't that be a great thing? You could hold that over the children for a week. You know, if you don't do your work, you can't go out this afternoon.
Yeah, well, their concentration level at home is bad enough. Add that one to it. Yeah, well, that is just like the virus. It is novel.
Yeah, a home office in Las Vegas. Here's kind of an interesting thing. This is a gal who sent a note to Elliott Advocacy, our friend Chris Elliott's consumer help website, and said she had bought an unlimited alcohol package for her cruise, unlimited drinks, as many as she wanted every day. And then right before she sailed, she got the word that unlimited in this case meant a limit of 15 drinks a day. And she went ballistic. Going to get a lawyer and get the attorney general involved and everything, because after all, you can't change the rules at the last minute, which caused Mr. Elliott to ask. It's probably the same question you're thinking of. 15 drinks a day, lady? And that's not enough? I mean, wouldn't alcohol poisoning kick in at some point? Day after day after day after. I mean,
Yeah. Well, you know, they wrote that up, and then at the same time, they were making some sort of an attempt to help people protect themselves from themselves.
Well, and they said, I was speaking to Gwen Duncan about this on the phone, and Gwen said to me, she said, well, you know, that also applies like to soft drinks. And I said, for God's sake, if you were limited to 15 soft drinks a day, you'd be floating in the ocean if you were able to down 15 soft drinks a day and still need more. Anyway, just be aware, if you want one of those unlimited beverage packages, if you buy one, that you may be limited to only 15 alcoholic beverages per day, even if your system would take a little bit more. Hey, listen, this is something kind of important here. I wanted to take a minute. Every year we have the folks on the Stocking family, Susie and her husband. They do a thing called the Wreath Project, where they put Christmas wreaths on all the graves at the Sacramento Valley Military Cemetery. And each year, of course, there are more graves there. And so it's a big, big project. And they spend the whole year raising money to do it. So their big fundraising event would have been tonight. And so because of COVID, of course, it's not. They would have had 500 people in a silent auction, and they all would have bought dinner and stuff. So what they're doing is trying to do their fundraising online. We have put a link at travelguysradio.com. They're going to downscale this year from wreaths just to big bows on each of the graves, which I think are going to – they have a picture of them, which I think will look very nice. And so anyhows, if you have supported this project in the past or have heard them on the Travel Guys and sent in a check, why, go to travelguysradio.com. There is an opportunity to be able to support the Wreath Project, which helps remember all of the fallen who are buried here in Northern California. And finally, Hawaii. There's rumor that Hawaii might get reopened in October, and it might actually happen. Later on in the program, we have Gary Hogan, who is from the Hogan family, used to own Pleasant Hawaiian Holidays. Took like hundreds of thousands of people to the islands every year, and still own a couple hotels over there. Gary courteously sat down with us last week, and we talked about this whole thing. I couldn't think of anybody better than somebody who had been in tourism for his whole family for half a decade to be able to talk to us about what's going on. And it does look like that there may be some ways for folks to go to Hawaii and get tested before and after and during and all that kind of jazz, avoid the quarantine, and maybe get some tourism start back to the islands. And that is your travel news for today.
And there you go. And a link to all we talk about, our special guests and more at travelguysradio.com. Have you been perplexed as to, well, what you do when you go out, let's say, dining out doors at a restaurant? What kind of tips do you think you might want to do? And how much? And when you greet someone, are you kind of the elbow person or a fake high five? We're going to talk about some of those things and more. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
My heart in San Francisco.
Mr. Tony Bennett.
Yep.
And we're playing this for a reason. Mark, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, you know, it's sports are a business like anything else. And last week, the Giants said their final farewell, I'm guessing their final farewell, to Pablo Sandoval, who was one of their World Series heroes and one of my favorite guys. You know, he was a fat old guy still playing baseball. So that's why he was kind of my favorite. But went away to the Red Sox, went to what he thought was greener pastures, found out they weren't, the life wasn't greener on the other side of the hill, and came back home. But anyways, I know we're a travel show, but still, it's just Pablo is headed for greener pastures. And then the A's lost their third baseman the other day, and I immediately thought to myself, well, you know, I mean, maybe. So we'll see. you teased before the break, Tom, about COVID.
Yeah,
protocols.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. And let's do this. Let's systematically go through this great list you sent me a copy of, and we'll talk about it. And you can talk about your sources and such. Let's begin at the top. Number one, how do you greet someone in today's world? You know,
well,
what is the protocol?
Well, I think a lot of adults now are using the elbow thing. But, of course, in order to knock elbows, think about it. In order to get close enough to knock elbows, you really have to get close enough to shake hands. So while you're not involving your hands, you are, you know, if you're trying to avoid people, why you're not. So anyway, this guy's idea was that etiquette experts said, two of them said they were recent, they helped contribute to this article, and they suggested the namaste, which is, of course, a kind of a Hindu bow. It's a yoga thing. If you've practiced yoga, you know this. And I'm a practicing yogi, and so I thought that would be a good idea. You know, you could, mm-hmm. It's a respectful thing, and that would work. But some people probably would consider that to be a little bit religious. They might think that, you know, and they would be, you know, kind of true. And also, here's another idea. One etiquette person is a fan of the smize. Short for smiling with your eyes. Supermodel Tyra Banks is the master of this, and you can find her how-to videos online, he said. So I can see that. You know, even with a mask on, you can kind of let folks know with your eyes that you're smiling, don't you think?
You know, for some people easier than others, but yeah, you can, you know, eyes reveal so much. So that's a great suggestion. Well, you know, this one is, even though I haven't ventured out and dined out, I've often thought about this. When you're wearing your mask and you're dining out, you know, when's it on? When do you pull it down when you're going to eat? What do you do with it when you're eating? What do you have for us there?
Well, this is what this is kind of a fairly big debate. And Washington Post food reporter Tim Carman wrote, it's more, he says that really the mask thing at the restaurant is that you should be, you wear your, a lot of people are wearing their masks into the restaurant and then immediately taking it down. So that's poor etiquette. You should wear the mask all the way to your table. Hypothetically, you should keep the mask up until your food is served and then take the mask down until such time that you're done eating. If you leave the table for some reason, you put the mask up. Here's something I hadn't thought of that he suggested, and that is that if a server comes to your table, it is good etiquette to stop and put your mask up to respond to the server. Now, I hadn't thought about that. But
yeah, I would
that
think,
makes
think
sense.
That would be, does, yes.
Well, I mean, it's a little over the top, maybe. You're eating, and the server comes by, and how's everything? And you're like, you know, you wave at them or something. But if you were to respond to them verbally, then that would be a super etiquette thing to think of putting your mask up for the server. The other thing is, too, that if you leave the table, you have to use the restroom or you seek out a staff or something like that, you should use the mask then. And then, hypothetically, when you're done eating until you leave the restaurant, you can cut down your exposure by about half eating inside if you follow those little etiquette rules. So most people don't, but that's just some suggested ideas. Tipping at restaurants. Tom, now I know you've been doing a lot of home delivery stuff. Do you tip when folks leave things on your doorstep and the like?
Well, let me clarify. When it comes to groceries, i.e. cart or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, whatever grocery store you go to, whatever they call it, I'm a Raley's kind of guy, and theirs is e-cart. And, you know, one of the things I discovered is that a union grocery workers will not take cash tips.
There you go.
So, and occasionally the people that bring your groceries out are not full-time union folk. They're you know, looks like they're just hired to help. But what we did was we buy gift cards, either In-N-Out Burger or a Chick-fil-A or whatever it may be, and we give those. And there doesn't seem to be any problem with taking those. And, you know, people come and go so quickly to my door and drop stuff off, whether it's UPS or FedEx, that I never see them. I can't catch them in time to hardly even thank them, much less give them a tip.
I love your gift card idea. Here's an idea from the gentleman who wrote this article: was leave an envelope taped to the door that just says, you know, delivery person. Of course, somebody could come by in the time after you put it out there, but that would be a way of, or please knock for gratuity or something to that effect. He also suggested that even when something's being delivered to you, it may be delivered by somebody who was a server at the restaurant at one point, so it would be appropriate to treat that like a regular meal and to tip more when you pick up things for takeout and stuff like that. And we're about to run out of time here, so quickly I wanted to just get a couple of other things in here. This is one etiquette thing. You were going to go to a wedding, and the wedding has gotten postponed. The couple has gotten married, but they postponed the celebration. So do you send the present now or do you send it later?
Yeah, send it now.
Yeah, the answer to the question is you send it now, because you may forget later. So it's held that you will be getting an invitation. So anyways, just the basics of this was to talk a little bit about servers and restaurants and stuff like that, and how some of the folks who are delivering food and things are actually the people who are serving you. So you might want to think about that fact. And if you have a favorite place that you order from or something like that, you can help those folks by spending a little bit more than you normally would on a takeout gratuity, or whether you even gave a takeout gratuity at all.
More Travel Guys coming up. Welcome back, my friends. It's Mark and Tom. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. As always, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Let's see. This is Tom upstairs in the old house. Mark is in the office in his little studio. did we hear from Rob? Oh,
we
good.
Did.
Okay, Mark, why don't you go ahead and tell us about the email you got to the Travel Guys after last weekend.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. We talked a little bit last week about the history of Burning Man and about how it started in San Francisco, actually started on Baker Beach at the end of Golden Gate Park. And I said, just, you know, as an aside, if anybody was on Baker Beach in those early years or anything, why, give us a call. So Ron Woods contacted me, one of our listeners, and said, hey, I was there in 1987, I think Ron said, which would have been the second year. Ron, are you on the line with us?
I sure am. How are you?
Hey, good. Welcome to the Travel Guys. Is that right? 1987, I think, is the year you said you were there.
Correct.
So yeah. I'm looking at this really is a wild shot. Did you not tell me you thought there were about 100 people there or something like that?
Yeah, right about there.
Yeah,
they had a stick figure down at the end of the beach by the bridge. It wasn't at the end of Golden Gate Park. That's Ocean Beach. It was Baker Beach over by the bridge.
Okay.
And, you know, that intrigued us enough. And what we were doing was actually searching for a bonfire that evening on Ocean Beach, which is where we usually go. But there was no activity, so we moved over to Baker, and there was this big man about 20 feet tall.
So here, according to the official Burning Man history here, 1987, Baker Beach, Effigy Man height 17 feet. So you said about 20 feet. You're right on there. Number of participants, roughly 80. Ticket price free. It was just a burning. They'd done it the first year in 1986, about 35 people. So you guys just happened on it as the figure was about to be burnt?
Yes, we did. Good timing. We drove right over. You just drive past China Beach, and you're at Baker Beach immediately.
And, now, Ron, have you ever been back to Burning Man since?
Yes. I've attended Carnival of Mirrors and Da Vinci's Workshop, 15 and 16, respectively.
Okay. Tell folks a little bit how Burning Man, how you refer to them by those names.
Excuse me? How I refer to them by?
Well, no, you called them by two specific names, so just that there's a theme for the...
Oh, those are the themes for those years, yeah.
And
if you've been, you'll really remember the theme more than you will the year.
Do you have anybody that you've met at Burning Man who has become a friend outside of that event?
Two of them, yeah, two of them. One lives in Oregon, one lives in Washington State, so they're right up the coast.
Wow.
Ron, so, yeah, maybe not lifelong friends, but they're pretty good friends now, so...
Well, let me jump in real quick here, Ron. This is Tom, the other travel guys, and it sounded like quite an experience for you there. You know, we've talked to others that have gone to Burning Man, certainly not one that went to, you know, Burning Man 2. Most all of them indicate that in some ways it changes your life in regards to, in different ways. What kind of an impact has it had on you, Ron, over the years, being a Burning Man goer?
Well, that is exactly true. There was a magazine article in early 2000s, and one paragraph started out as what started at Baker Beach is now Burning Man. And I said, whoa, hey, I was there. By God, there was a man burned on the beach. So I connected the dots. But when I went out in 15 and 16... I didn't expect life changing, but what I got was artwork. It was just crazy wild, good stuff. And
now I'm guessing 15 and 16, just a little bit different from Baker Beach. I'm looking here at the Burning Man history, and it says that the attendance in those years was roughly 70,000 people. So that'd be just a little bit more than the 80 or so that had joined you on the beach that night.
Yeah. And it was in June also, and that year I was up from leave on the Navy in San Diego and went out there with some friends. But it was just like a birthday party. If you ever been to a park or a beach birthday party, just like that almost.
Wow.
And I met Larry Harvey, one of the founders. Nobody else that I recognize names of, but I did meet him.
Yeah. Was he an interesting guy?
Excuse me?
Was he an interesting guy?
Yeah, we only spoke for like less than 30 seconds, but, you know, he welcomed us and we had a little bonfire. That's what we were looking for. But I saw him again at what we call in Black Rock Desert Point One. And just for a moment, I said, hi, Larry, saw you in 1987. He said, oh, well, I don't remember you, but okay.
Well, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes. First of all, I appreciate you responding, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes to share a little bit. You are truly a Burning Man celebrity, having been there at a time when there were only 100, now 60,000, 70,000, hoping Burning Man will be back on track next week. Thank you, my friend, for being a listener and for giving us a call. We're going to take one last break, and when we come back, we are going to take you to Hawaii. We're going to talk with Gary Hogan, whose family owned Pleasant Hawaiian Holidays many years ago. If anybody knows Hawaii and what will get it going again, Gary's the man. We'll be right back. We are the Travel Guys.
Tiny bubble.
You've stumbled across the travel and entertainment guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. Thanks for joining us. We've mentioned on the show, if you've listened in the past, that we know that Northern California is a very, very popular place for people to go to Hawaii. And I guess it's just because we're so close. Talk to anybody from the East Coast, Mark. They always say, you guys are so lucky. You live so close to Hawaii, it's like you can just reach out and touch it. So as a result...
Well, yeah, if you're in New York, it's going to Hawaii is like going to Europe from California.
Yeah, pretty much, I mean, pretty much. So it's just one big hop for us, and we know our listeners have been very, very interested in finding out what's going on over there and when people can start visiting again, and that's what we're here to do, make you a smarter traveler and keep you abreast of that. And, Mark, you got a special guest, someone you've known for a while over in the islands. Introduce Gary, and let's get started.
All right, Tom. We talked a couple weeks ago to Will Lydgate from Lydgate Farms over on Kauai. Will grows chocolate and sells it, and so he's kind of on the supply side of the islands. And we thought it would be great to talk to someone from the hotel business. Little did I know that the man I would be going to have an opportunity to talk to, his family has been in the hotel business for just a few years. Gary Hogan joins us. Gary is the chief executive officer for Hawaiian Hotels and Resorts. And if that name Hogan sounds a little bit familiar to some of you who have been going to Hawaii for a while, you may remember a company called Pleasant Hawaiian Holidays. And the Hogan family had a lot to do with that. Gary, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Aloha. Thank you for having me.
So, Gary, give us a little bit of background about Pleasant Hawaiian Holidays and how your family got started in the tourism business in Hawaii.
Yeah, sure. Actually, it was funny. You're talking about travel to Hawaii, and that from the West Coast, you can almost touch the islands. Well, when my parents started coming to Hawaii, my dad was doing charters for a non-scheduled airline called Transocean Airways. And they were in DC-4s, and they'd fly them out of Burbank, and it took 12 to 13 hours to get to Hawaii. They were non-pressurized, so they had to fly at low altitudes, and wow, they were 50 passengers. And, if you were coming from the East Coast, you know, that's a 24-hour flight. So we've obviously come a long way, and those are back when people were real travel pioneers. Yeah, that was about 1957. So my dad and mom fell in love with Hawaii many, many years ago. And in 1959, they started a little travel agency in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, where they moved back to and grew up from. And it was just my mom and dad decided to start their own business. And they were just a general travel agency selling many destinations, but they still had a love for Hawaii. And that grew until 61. They decided they're going to move back to California, open up another travel agency called Pleasant Travel Service, and focus a little more on Hawaii. And through the years, obviously grew it to become Pleasant Hawaiian Holidays. We were the largest tour company sending people from the U.S. over the mainland U.S. to Hawaii. And we sold the company back in 1998. When we sold it, my dad wanted me to take over the hotel company and kind of reposition or decide what to do with the three remaining hotels that we owned at the time. So I came up with a plan to reposition them and actually sell one in Kauai, which we did. And so we put up quite a bit of money into the Royal Haina Resort, in the tune of about $40 million.
Well, and the Royal Lahaina, I should mention, for the last, 6, 8, maybe 10 years, has been the home for Sports Leisure Vacations on Maui. My folks love it because we use some large resorts, particularly on the Big Island and on Oahu. I mean, there are resorts where you have to take a tram to your room or to walk back to the front desk. You got to leave when the sun comes up in order to get there by noon. And they're beautiful properties. But for my folks, they just weren't quite the thing. And so we love the Royal Lahaina. You know, one elevator bank, one restaurant, one pool, one tower. Beautiful property. It's been there for a while, but it's in beautiful shape. And I suspect that more than a few people who are listening to this right now have spent more than one night at the Royal Lahaina or someplace there on Kaanapali on the island of Maui. Gary, this is a really different time. This is, you know, unless you were around 100 years ago and we didn't have really airplanes flying around then, this hasn't really happened before. So let me ask you, your family's been in the hotel business forever. It's got to be tough. It's tough for everybody in the tourism business. What are you guys doing to stay afloat? How do you see this? Give me some reaction to the whole COVID crisis.
Yeah, so being a family business, you know, we're pretty conservative. So we carry very little debt. You know, a lot of the profits go back into the properties. So, you know, we've got a really good balance sheet. We have been shut down since the middle of March. And even though Hawaii opened for inter-island travel, I didn't reopen because the business really wasn't there.
Our guest is Gary Hogan. He's the chief executive officer of Hawaiian Hotels and Resorts, has a connection to Pleasant Hawaiian Holidays, the Hogan family. And we're talking a little bit with Gary about not only hotels, but business in Hawaii. You mentioned that you shut your hotels down in March. Gary, Hawaii has tried some various things. One of them, a 14-day quarantine, which had some holes. They opened up inter-island travel for a while so that Hawaiian residents of Hawaii could get back and forth between the islands. COVID has been spreading despite all of these things. Where do the islands go from here? When will we get opened back up? What are you optimistic? Is there anything going on behind the scenes or anything that you'd like to see happen?
Yeah, it's been frustrating to say the least. I think, as you mentioned earlier, that the government here hasn't really done the best job of tracking this or tracking people that where the hot spots are. You know, there's just been so many mistakes, and it's been frustrating because nobody wants to, any government wants to take any kind of chance. You know, not that we want to have people get ill, but, you know, there's other states that are opening and having some tourism come through and have, you know, I mean, Alaska has a pretty good program where you get tested before and then you get your test results, your quarantine until either before you, if your test comes in before you travel, you're good. If it doesn't, you wait a couple days till it comes in while you're in quarantine in Alaska, but that could be 2 days. This 14-day quarantine is ridiculous.
Gary, look into your crystal ball with me for a minute, if you would. If you know, I'm a tour operator. This is really not a make-believe situation because I use at least one of your hotels when we come to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I'm a tour operator, and I'm sitting here looking into my crystal ball, and I'm saying, you know what? I want to set up a trip to Hawaii, and I want to be 85-90% certain that this COVID thing is not going to get in the way. If you were going to take your family to Hawaii, would you look at next spring? Would you wait till the summer? Would you say, well, you know, the winter is okay? How would you look at this at this point?
So we're scheduled supposedly for October 1st. The goalpost has moved, as we know, several times, and October 1st is, I guarantee, is not going to happen. So I think either November 1st or December 1st, hopefully November. But I think just before Christmas we should be okay.
Let me ask you, are you taking reservations for the future? Meaning if somebody wanted to book for a December in hopes that they could, that things will open back up. You know, I can book airline flights out into the future and then cancel them if it doesn't happen. And now, of course, the airlines are allowing people to cancel or change without fees. What's going on your properties?
Yeah, we're doing the same. We did that from day one, where you could book your reservation. There's no change fee. There's no cancellation fee. Just giving people comfort that, you know, that hopefully that they can come and enjoy a nice vacation. But the back when we were going to open originally in June, we had 50% occupancy on the books, which I knew if once we opened, once we did get the green light and people could travel, I figured it'd go up another 20-30 points at least, because people are sitting on the sidelines just waiting, you know, obviously. And you know,
well,
like,
and there's
all
going
of
to be
us,
a, there, because of the introduction of Southwest into the market, there are going to be a lot of available airplane seats whenever somebody, you know, whenever the flag is waved. There are going to be a lot of folks who will have seats, and these airlines have got planes sitting around. And they know that, we're already seeing, because of adjustments they're making to their schedules and new routes that they're adding on, that they see the writing on the wall. They know it's going to be about leisure travel the next couple of years. Hawaii is a huge leisure destination. Southwest was already planning a huge ramp up and had started this before this hit. So I think that it's only the pent-up demand situation for Hawaii is going to help Hawaii probably as much as any destination, particularly from this side of the country. But I feel for, having talked to Will on Kauai a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you know, unemployment on Kauai is 40%. And I can't even imagine. I mean, that must be a lot of families, two-income families, that don't have any income at this point in time, and I'm sure you've laid off a lot of people. Gary, before I let you go, Here we've Hawaii is such an incredibly wonderful destination, and we've talked about kind of some icky things today and how we're going to get things back going together. Your family has been in the islands for a long time.
My parents are still living. They're both 92 years old. In fact, I'm going back for my dad's 93rd birthday in California at the end of this month. But, you know, all the people that they've touched and all the stories, you know, that they don't always talk about, but, you know, I hear from others, you know, just I love the history, and I love, you know, the things that our family has been able to do for Hawaii. And you know, we have a foundation that we do stuff for education here in Hawaii and up in Gonzaga University as well.
We saw Don Ho's, would have been his 90th birthday just a few weeks ago, of course.
Yeah, I knew Don. I used to play golf with Don quite a bit. He was a great guy.
That does not surprise me.
He had some great stories too. So. But I probably can't talk about him on the radio.
Don Ho was Hawaii for a long, long time.
He was.
I mean, if you were taking 400,000 people a year to the islands, dare I say, not all of them were going to the Hilton Hawaiian Village and seeing his show. But I'm willing to bet a reasonable percentage of them were, He was the entertainment of the islands. And of course, the islands have changed a little bit now. Some of the traditional things. The millennials have taught us to pick up every rock and look behind every corner. And, you know, we do farm-to-fork things. And when we come to Maui, we do the slack-key guitar with Cousin George up the road there. And so there's a lot of history on Maui. So there are a lot of wonderful things. And, Gary, just the other day I was making a list of new things. I need to come back to Hawaii as soon as we can and check out some things so that when – we kind of pride ourselves in when we take people to Hawaii in showing them some things that maybe they haven't seen before. Gary, thank you so much again. And hopefully the next time we talk, we will be sitting on the patio at the Royal Lahaina with a drink with an umbrella in the top of it.
Perfect. Thank you, Tom and Mark, for your time as well.
Mark, I can't wait till you're back over on the islands with a group of your travelers, and we're doing one of our Travel Guys broadcasts live from one of Gary's hotels, don't you think?
You can't wait. Boy, I'll tell you what, I can't wait even more. I really miss Hawaii, and talking to the folks over there is makes me miss it more. Next week on the Travel Guys, we're taking you all the way to Singapore. The Other Shangri-La is the name of the book this man has written. It's a fascinating interview. It'll be next Sunday on the Travel Guys. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, folks, be listening throughout the week for Mark's travel tips from the Travel Guys. In the meantime, you stay well, and we'll see you next time here on the Travel Guys.
Turn around.